on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, it is time for another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, and I am joined, as always, by my twin brother, Andrew Robinson. Man, it is week four of my college basketball season, man, and it has been off to a great start, man. We're going to run you through today, obviously, our top 25 rankings for week four, man, but also going to get you caught up on some of the weekend's action, man. And then we got a treat for you guys, man. We've got Brandon Slater, arguably the most improved player in the country this year. One of Villanova's best players, currently the third leading scorer on that Villanova basketball team. We have an interview with him that we're going to get you guys to later in this podcast, man. But before we jump into all that, man, definitely want to remind you guys to stream my guy Pull Up Tay's music. His new project, Why Stop Now, is out on all platforms, man. Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud. Make sure you check that out, man. Why Stop Now is out everywhere, man. My guy Pull Up Tay is one of the best up-and-coming artists out of the DMV. Make sure you guys tap into my guy's music, man. And also, as always, man, want to make sure we remind you guys to give us a like, give us a retweet, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. 5 stars only, please, when you listen to the Auto Bid, man. Again, we are one of the only podcasts in the country giving you guys everything you need to know on mid-major basketball each and every week, man. So make sure you guys are always tapping in with our content, man, on social media as well, man. Tell a friend about the good gospel of the Auto Bid, man. But like I said, man, it's been a busy week four in college basketball, man. We've had some upsets. We've had some teams in our mid-major poll that have got some huge wins, man. Also some teams that have taken some losses, man. So, Andrew, man, what wins stick out to you the most over this past few days?
Yeah, man, we had a lot of them, man. So, I mean, I think I started off, man, our one of our top, you know, two teams, you know, from last week's poll, St. Bonnie's, took their first loss of the season, man. They suffered a loss to, you know, Northern Iowa, you know, who obviously got off to a very underwhelming start this year, you know. But, you know, A.J. Green went off for 35 in this game, man, which is a great sign for Northern Iowa because, obviously, you know, he has struggled a lot, you know, early on as far as, you know, getting his rhythm coming back, you know, off of his injury from last year, man. So, you know, that wasn't necessarily, you know, an upset, but that was a big-time win, you know, for Northern Iowa and, you know, obviously St. Bonnie's first loss of the season. And I they had jumped into the top 20, you know, in the AP poll last week. You know, I think arguably the most surprising, you know, victory came, you know, from Utah Valley. You know, they were able to get a victory over BYU in the return of Mark Pope to his old stomping grounds, man. And, you know, obviously that was BYU's first loss of the season, you know. But I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, obviously BYU was ranked 12th in this week's AP poll. A lot of people, you know, even had an argument for them to be even higher than that. You know, a lot of people had BYU as a top 10 team, you know, in the country, man. And obviously they suffered their first loss, you know, to Utah Valley. So that was definitely a shocker. Coastal Carolina was able to get an 80-56 win over South Carolina out of the SEC, which was definitely, you know, a surprising result because you don't see mid-majors just, you know, shellack Power 5 opponents like that, man. So, you know, that was definitely surprising. UMBC was able to get a win over Pitt, you know, in a game that obviously, you know, was a heartbreak for my guy Tristan Freeman over at Busting Brackets, man. We're going to have to, you know, somebody make sure we check on him because his Pitt Panthers are suffering early in the non-conference, man. But, you know, obviously UMBC was able to get an impressive win, you know. So shout out to the Retrievers for that. Also, Monmouth out of the MAC was able to get a win over Cincinnati on the road, which was obviously a big-time win for the conference. We've seen, you know, Iona do numbers this season, obviously getting a win over Alabama down there in Florida. So now Monmouth is on the board with another big-time win over Cincinnati. You know, obviously, we had George Pappas on our – our podcast last week. So definitely happy for those guys to be able to get that win. And, you know, Winthrop was able to get a win over Washington out of the Pac-12, which is obviously, you know, a big win for the Big South Conference. You know, obviously they're in year one after Pat Kelsey, like, to go and take the job at College of Charleston. So, you know, it's definitely refreshing to see that program still, you know, on its 2 feet. And it's definitely, you know, saying a lot that they're definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Big South this year. Other news, you know, we had, you know, some mid-major, you know, mid-major games that also, you know, swayed a few things in our poll. We had College of Charleston that was able to get a win over Chattanooga, you know, in a game that obviously, you know, was featured two teams that were in our top 25, you know, for this week. And then UAB was able to get a win over East Tennessee State, 70-56, you know, also, you know, obviously a big-time win for UAB, kind of further asserting themselves as one of the best mid-major programs in the country. And last but not least, Richmond was able to get a win over Wofford, 73-64. So definitely, man, a lot of action, a lot of upsets, you know, a lot of, you know, kind of momentum swinging games for a lot of teams, man. But, you know, definitely was a fun week this week, you know, in our mid-major college basketball landscape.
For sure, man. I mean, can we talk about Northern Iowa for a second, man? I mean, this has to be the most confusing team in college basketball, man. I mean, obviously, we had expectations for them coming into the year. And then, obviously, it sucked the first few weeks of the season, man, losing to Nicholas, losing to Vermont, you know, losing to Arkansas. Then they go on the road and beat State Bomber. Everybody's like, all right, you know, maybe this team is turning it around, man. Maybe this team actually, you know, is going to, you know, figure it out, man. And then they go and they turn around and they lose to Bradley. And make no mistake about it, this is a bad Bradley basketball team. Like, I know it's a conference opponent on the road, but this is a Bradley team that has losses to Howard, Brown, and Duquesne already on its season, man. I also lost South Dakota State, who's a good basketball team, and Colorado State, who's a good basketball team as well. But this is simply not a very good Bradley basketball team, you know. I mean, and for all I would have dropped that game, man, I mean, that's not a good loss, man. I think it's fishy time to pump the brakes on this Northern Iowa basketball team. And obviously, you know, I'm embarrassed because I'm actually going to mention them one more time later in this show. But this might be the last time you hear me, you know, mention Northern Iowa's name on this podcast, man, because they have just been, you know, up and down, man, and hard to figure out all season long, man. So, I don't know. I'm officially almost off this Northern Iowa bandwagon, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on a positive note, you know, even though they did lose that game in the battle, you know, A.J. Green did have 30 points in that game. And I think, you know, obviously we mentioned he had 35 in that game against St. Bonaventure. So to see him go for 35 in that game and 30, you know, in this game, obviously he started off incredibly slow, you know, early on in the non-conference, which was a big reason why, you know, they suffered a lot of those early season losses. So to see him starting to get back in the rhythm and to be the A.J. Green that we know him to be, definitely is a positive sign, you know, for those Iowa going forward. So I definitely agree with you that I think they're a far cry away from Louis, Chicago, and Drake in the Missouri Valley. I think that there's even a number of other teams that you consider putting over them. Even a team like Missouri State is probably better than them in that Missouri Valley. But I think that as the season goes on, this is going to be a team that is going to improve, you know, as the year goes on, because they have the talent. You know, I think they're a team that can beat anybody but can lose to anybody as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I want to touch on that Utah Valley game as well, man. I mean, I think that was super surprising, man, because BYU is a team that some people, like you said, had the top 10 team in the country, man. Obviously, they were 12th in the A-10 poll coming in, man. And then you dropped that game to Utah Valley, man. That was definitely super surprising. Obviously, you know, Utah Valley is no slouch. They're 7-1, and they're going to definitely be a force to be reckoned with in that whack for sure. But, you know, BYU, man, I mean, for them to shoot 31%, from the floor, 25% from the three-point line, and 70% from the foul line. I mean, that's just uncharacteristic of a Mark Pope coach team. I mean, those guys are surgical offensively, and for them to struggle the way that they did versus Utah Valley, man, I mean, that's definitely credit to Utah Valley for the defense that they played against them, man. But, you know, BYU, man, for them to drop that game is definitely going to hinder something. Next week, we're going to have some work to do in our rankings, man, because obviously they're sitting at number one right now. They now have a loss. We talked about St. Bonaventure dropping one at home to Northern Iowa. Obviously, St. Mary's and Colorado State getting ready to play a huge game on Saturday. And if Colorado State comes out of that game with a win, I think we'll hopefully be able to put them, you know, comfortably at number one in our mid-major poll, man. But definitely some great games coming down the pipe, man, in our mid-major landscape this week.
Not for sure, man. I mean, to add insult to injury, you know, BYU loses, you know, senior Gavin Baxter, you know, with the torn ACL in his left knee, man. This is going to be the third year in a row, you know, that he has a season-ending injury, man. So, you know, my heart definitely goes out to him, you know, because, you know, as athletes, we all know how hard it can be to battle back from just one major injury, let alone three. You know what I'm saying? So I know that, you know, that BYU team is definitely going to rally around him, man. But, you know, nonetheless, man, we did unveil a new mid-major top 25 this week. For those of you who did not catch it on Twitter, the top 25 goes as follows. BYU is number one, Colorado State number two, St. Bonnie's number three, San Francisco out of the WCC number four, St. Mary's sitting at five, Loyola Chicago six, San Diego State seven, Utah State eight, Ohio Bobcats out of the MAC nine, Belmont 10, Ione 11, Chattanooga 12, Wyoming 13, UAB 14, South Dakota State 15, New Mexico State 16, Buffalo 17, Murray State 18, Oakland 19, East Tennessee State 20, UC Irvine 21, College of Charleston 22, Wofford 23, Monmouth 24, and the Dayton Flyers at 25, rounding out our week four mid-major poll. So, Ace, man, what are your thoughts on this week's poll?
Yeah, man, first and foremost, man, I want to say it's good to see Monmouth in the poll, man. This team, obviously, we went back and forth about a little bit, man. But definitely happy to show some MAC love, man, for Monmouth, man, obviously, who dropped their first game of the season in Charlotte and has since won five straight games, including the one over Cincinnati over the weekend, man. And obviously, it was great because we had Pappas on here last episode, man. And obviously, you were talking about Walker Miller, who, you know, the walk-on there, transfer from Carolina. And he obviously was able to get a win over his big brother, Wes Miller, who's the head coach at Cincinnati. So he was able to get one up on his big bro this week, man, and was able to get it to get a little sibling revenge, man. I'm sure you probably will be talking about that at Christmas when they go home and talk, you know, and meet over the family dinner. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, I think Mom's gonna have something to say about that the talk that Iona has kind of been the best team in the MAC, man. I think Mom's definitely got something to say about that, man. And you know they're playing some good basketball right now, man. Obviously, also out of the SoCon. Got three SoCon teams in this year, man. None of them are Furman, man. You guys know how much I love Furman, man. But, you know, this week we got Chattanooga, Wofford, and ETSU. All three of those teams are you know, checking into our top 25, man. And obviously, Chattanooga obviously lost to College of Charleston, man, who's a great team out of the CAA, man. So that lead obviously really good. Wofford obviously was able to get a win over Georgia, who then went and beat Memphis last night, man. So, you know, obviously Georgia struggled a little bit early on, man, but Wofford is definitely a great basketball team. Speaking of Wofford, I actually had an opportunity to see former Wofford great Storm Murphy last night. He's now suiting up for Virginia Tech. Obviously, he was able to get a win in that ACC Big Ten Challenge over Maryland, man, which was awesome to see, man. But SoCon is going to be a really fun league, man. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams. Obviously, you know, we haven't even mentioned UNCG, who we also debated kind of putting it in this top 25 as well, man. They're going to have something to say about you know, the SoCon race, man. But definitely, I think those are the biggest takeaways, man. And then, obviously, the Mountain West with Colorado State, San Diego State, Utah State, and then now Wyoming moving up to 13, man. And definitely a strong showing for that league as well.
Yeah, man. Shout out to our guy G Pat, man. You know, he said he wanted people to put some respect, you know, on Monmouth's name, man. He said they wanted their flowers, and you know, we heard you, man. We got you guys on our top 25. So definitely shout out to Monmouth, man. And you know, for Wofford, that win over Georgia is just looking just a smidge better, man, because Georgia was able to beat, you know, Memphis yesterday, man, and obviously get a win over, you know, Penny squad with Imani Bates and Jalen Duren and crew, man. So, you know, that victory for Wofford looked a little better, man. But I think you hit the nail right on the head, man. For me, I mean, my biggest takeaway, you know, from this week's rankings was Wyoming. You know, they come in right now, they're sitting at 6-0. You know, they have a victory over Washington out of the Pac-12 right now. And I think that for most people, man, I think, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, they don't really have any great wins. You know, Washington isn't great. Detroit Mercy isn't great. You know, Cal State Fullerton's not really great. You know, but, you know, I think for me, man, they have a big-time matchup against Arizona that's coming up on December 8th that's going to tell us a whole lot, you know, about this Wyoming team. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously Arizona's going to be heavily favored in that game. You know, but I think if Wyoming can compete, you know, and show that, you know, obviously if they're not blowing out or anything like that, and obviously if they would have upset Arizona on the road, then, you know, it's going to say a lot about Wyoming, man, in that Mountain West race. And it might be time to start talking about Wyoming, you know, as a team that potentially get an at-large bid, you know, if they were able to go on the road, get that win over Arizona. And now they're setting themselves up, head into Mount West, play with some confidence and some opportunities to get some victories over a Colorado State, a Utah State, and teams of teams like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult for me to get an at-large bid. I mean, you've only got really two real chances to kind of move the needle in the non-conference. You mentioned the Arizona game, then they're going to get Stanford, obviously, on Wednesday, December 22nd. Stanford's kind of, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be a huge needle moving win. I don't think many people see them as an NCAA tournament team, you know, but if they were able to get those two wins, and then you go into the Mountain West, which is looking really good this year, man. Obviously, Colorado State is going to have an opportunity to put themselves in that top 25 discussion. They're able to beat St. Mary's. We talked a lot about San Diego State, Utah State, and even Nevada, man, who's gotten off to a slow start at 4-4, man. But they've got, obviously, two of the best guards in the country, I mean, in the conference, in Grant Sherfield and Desmond Cambridge. And also, they're really well coached, obviously, with Steve Offerman. Even a team like UNLV, who's sitting at 4-4 right now, you know, I had an opportunity to see them play in Las Vegas, man. They battled versus Michigan, man. They eventually lost that game, and they almost beat Wichita State. Lost that one, close one as well. Then they have a loss to UCLA and then SMU. But, you know, they're going to be a team that's just going to be, you know, it's going to be scrappy. You know, they might not be, you know, one of the most talented teams, man, but they're going to battle. And they're going to get some guys to run for their money on you know. And speaking of them, they're actually going to play San Francisco this Saturday at 10 o'clock, man. So they're going to have an opportunity kind of get a good win for themselves. And for San Francisco, who's currently fourth in our poll, they're going to have to, you know, kind of avoid that upset, because UNLV is definitely coming, man. But Mountain West is going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how that league plays out.
Not for sure, man. For sure, man. Definitely going to be a conference to watch, you know, come conference tournament time, man. Or excuse me, conference play, for sure, man. But, you know, as you mentioned earlier, man, we are pleased to be joined by one of, DMV's finest, you know what I'm saying? DMV's finest, Team Takeover's finest, Paul the Sixth finest, you know, a guy who we had the pleasure of playing with this summer, last summer, in the Kenner League, man. And that's Villanova's Brandon Slater, man. I think you guys obviously are going to be able to, you know, kind of hear his just his growth, you know, and his story just about, you know, obviously the things he went through early on in his Villanova career to what he's been able to do this season as one of the most improved players in college basketball, man. So without further ado, man, I'm going to get you guys that interview with Brandon Slater right now.
All righty, guys. We are here for another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, and we're joined by my twin brother, Andrew Robinson. And today, we got a special guest, man. We're joined by Villanova senior forward, Brandon Slater, man, fellow DMV guy, man. So thanks for coming over today, Brandon.
Thank y'all for having me, man.
No problem at all, man. We definitely want to remind you guys, as always, man, make sure you guys are tuning in to my guy, Pull Up Tay's Music, man. That was him on the intro. Also, make sure you guys are giving us a subscribe, a like, a rating to this podcast, man. Whatever you guys are tuning into this podcast, man. Tell a friend about the Auto Bid, man. But like I said, man, we're super pleased to have Brandon Slater on, man. He's having a spectacular season for Villanova right now, man. And obviously, you're a guy that you know, has had a long college journey, man. I mean, the first few years, you know, started off kind of rough. Didn't play as much, man. But you got to be one of the most improved players in the country this year, man. I mean, you're starting, you know, averaging about 14 points a game, 30 minutes a game, man. I mean, talk a little bit about this year, man, and the development that you kind of had coming from, you know, last year to this year, man, and what you kind of able to improve on over the course of the season.
Yeah, so definitely right after the season ended against Baylor, I kind of took that one hard, because when I was in the game, we had the lead. And as soon as I had gotten hurt, that's when they went on their run, and then they eventually ended off as the national champ. So I kind of took that hard. So ever since then, like, I probably took like a week off then, and then I was practicing, working on my shot ever since then, working on different type of ways to get into the lane, working on thinking the game through, just got to do everything better for my teammates and my coaches. So ever since that game, it's just been like a click and talk, just trying to work every single time, every single chance I get, I'm just trying to work.
Yep. One thing, man, first of all, man, I definitely got to say, man, as somebody who's, you know, watched your career, man, I know I'm thinking for myself, but, you know, a lot of other people that I spoke with, man, like, we're incredibly, definitely proud, man, of what you've been able to do, man, because, you know, in today's day and age, man, it's not a lot, it's not very often that you see guys that stick it out, man, when you career starts off like that. You know, most guys hit the portal and, you know, look for greener pastures, man. So for you, I mean, like, what was those times like, you know, in your freshman and sophomore years, man, when you weren't playing a lot? Like, you know, what was kind of going through your head? What was those combos like with you and Coach Wright as far as, like, his vision for you? And just kind of how did you get through those times to kind of, like, see it through to kind of where you're having the success that you are now?
Yeah, it was definitely difficult at times, bro. But, like, every single time, like, he would be straight up with me. Like, even in my recruitment, I was, like, a very, very highly touted recruit. But, like, he told me, he was like, it's not going to be easy for you, and I'm not going to give it to you. So then when he was saying that, then when conversations got real and when situations got real and I wasn't seeing the floor, like, at all certain games, it was like, all right, now I have to change my mindset to, am I getting better in practice every day? So, like, if I'm doing this drill, did I win this drill? Or did I do what they asked me in this drill? So, like, I'm thinking about drills, not even the game, because I'm probably not going to get in the game, but I'm focused on what I'm doing in this drill, and then that's going to help me get better this day, next day, day after that. So, like, even with, like, my stats, they probably didn't show me getting better as much as people thought I was, but and anybody in the program, you can tell if we're working 24/7, you see every single guy get better, like tremendously better. So I was just focused on getting better each day. And it just so happened that this year was the year that everything clicked.
Now, you mentioned before the improvement in your jump shot, man. Obviously this year, you're shooting almost 50% from three, 64% from the field, man. I mean, obviously me and Drew know for those who don't know, me and Drew played at Quinnipiac, obviously, for Coach Baker Dunleavy, who came from Villanova. So our systems were running extremely similar, man. I remember we used to have to do these vitamins every day practice in the summer. You got to make I know when he was there in the summer, we had to make 100 free throws. I can't remember the exact number, maybe 200 threes or something like that, man. But what was that like for you, man? I mean, was it the vitamins? Was it some extra work that you put in, man, to kind of improve your jumper, man? I mean, talk to me a little bit about how you kind of put that work into to get your jumper the way it looks, you know, this season.
Yeah. So when I got to Villanova, I had to change my jump shot. So not a lot of people knew. Like, I broke my hand my senior year of high school, so that kind of like affected how I was shooting. So then they changed how I held the ball. They changed how I, like, started to use the ball, like how I dribbled the ball and all that. So when I got to Villanova, it was obviously like a different culture shock because I'm used to shooting like however I was shooting for like 15 years. And then I've changed it. So I had to get used to that. And then once it like clicked, then it clicked. It just took longer for me. Like other players, we had Sadiq Bey, they changed his jump shot. It worked right away for him. Or we had Justin Moore, worked right away for him. So like me, it just took a little bit longer. And that's just how it happens sometimes. But they had me in the gym. Oh, man, listen. They had me in the gym, like, more than anybody. And when I was in the gym, like, they made sure. They was like, bro, like, you're not good right now. Like, they would tell me that. Like, and that's something real. Like, and you really – you got to take advantage of that. And I'm so glad that I stuck it out. And I'm so glad that I had them telling me that. They were like, yo, you suck right now. But we recruited you, and we know what you can be. And they kept telling me, we know what you can be. We're going to push you to get there. You're not there right now. So I'm so glad that I stuck it out. And they had faith in me and giving me this opportunity right now.
That's respect. That's respect for sure. Because as a player, I feel like being in those situations and being in the locker room, a lot of times coaches, they assure code things or tell you what you want to hear. But it'll be like, yeah, well, this guy's probably going to end up transferring anyway, so we're not really going to invest in him. I think it really just speaks to the culture of that program. And, you know, a lot of people have said Villanova was like, you know, wing you. You know, you have like somebody like Mikael Bridges, for example, who redshirted his freshman year, got better each and every year and got drafted. Obviously, everybody knows about, you know, the Josh Hart story, how he was able to develop over 4 years. For you, you kind of like the next in line of that wing that's kind of improved every year and gotten better. Talk a little bit about what that development is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as a wing, like, is there anything specific that you guys do that you think allows, you know, Villanova to produce the wings that they've been able to produce over the last couple of years? And specifically, how you guys have been able to improve each and every year of your college careers?
I would definitely say that the coaches, they do an amazing job at just player development. Like, I feel like we have one of the best coaching staffs in the whole country. And that's not me being biased. It's just they take their job so seriously. Like, we come in the gym, We're not taking a three just like to throw it up. Now we're right underneath the baskets. We're practicing our form shooting. Then we're practicing like every single type of layup. We're practicing every single type of jump shot around the rim. We're practicing every finish we can underneath the rim, on the side of the rim. We're practicing every pivot, every jump stop. So when we work on our skill development, when we work on our finishing, our footwork and all that, like you're gonna get better. And it's just so having that. We had great guys when they were in high school, and then when they got here, like they pushed us to a whole nother level. So I gotta say, like, I'm so glad that I had this opportunity to stay here. Like, they like people asked me to transfer. I'm like, I'd get them the same answer I do now. Like, no, like I'm not leaving because like I have the perfect opportunity, and I knew that back then, and I knew that now. So seeing guys like Josh Hart, seeing guys like my coach now, Dwayne Anderson, from back in the day. Seeing guys like that, you see Sadiq Bey, who I grew up with. You see any Josh Hart. You see anybody who comes in, they just get drastically better. Like you become a better shooter, you become a better playmaker, you become a better ball handler, you become a better defender. So it's like they work on every single situation all the time. So like we'll be in practice for like 2-3 hours, working on every single situation that can happen for you, and it just so happens that. It works out for us. So I'm glad that we have that.
Yeah, I think people don't really understand, like, when you say, like, every pivot or, like, every,
y'all know.
You're only in practice really, like, not shooting the shot, just jumped out, pivoted, and passed the ball. Like,
bully, man.
Y'all already know. Bully. We got Bradley. We got a finish on this side. Finish on the right-hand bully. You got inside hand, but like we're doing all the things. Sometimes we'll practice no jump shot, no steals. No jump shot, no steals. All right, now we got to work on our defense the whole entire time. I'm pivoting the whole entire time. It's crazy.
Nah, literally, bro. I'll never forget when Dunity came in there my junior year, bro. And we was in there because our first 2 years, we had a coach, Coach Moore. He's at UConn now. He came from UConn. And we got Dunity in there. He was like, yeah, like we before practice, we shooting these little, like, these. 2 foot jumper. I'm like, bro, what are we in here doing all this for? Are we pivoting? I'm like, yo, ain't nobody got time for this, bro. Like, can we hoop? Right. Like, then they telling you, man, yo, you gotta make sure you jumped out. You know, I'm like, yo, all right, bro, I'm not trying to do all this, but it's crazy, man, because it worked. I mean, Villanova has won 2 championships in the last 5 years. We already named the past, you know, the dudes in the NBA. We didn't even name Eric Paschal and Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Jalen Brunson and Dr. DiVincenzo and all you dudes in the league for the Nova, man. So it definitely does work, man. I think that ties into something that I wanted to ask you about because for those of you that don't know, man, I had to bring the old gear out, man.
Oh, man, got the attitude on, man.
Listen, those that do not know, man. In practice, we had something called attitude points. I'm sure I'm gonna let Brandon talk about this, but not only is it things that we track during practice, like dives and charges and paint touches and this and that, but it's also honestly like a way that you run the program. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, your mentality when things aren't going your way. You know what I'm saying? And you know, battling through adversity on the court, but. You know, talk to me a little bit about what that means, man. For those who don't know, man, what is attitude and how do you guys kind of use that in your programs?
Yeah, I think you hit it spot on. So attitude, it basically has a meaning of its own. So attitude points are based off of, like you said, our dives, our steals, our extra passes, our tap backs, our offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. So we're not worried about who scores the most, because we're going to have different scores. We're going to have leading scores the whole entire season. So we're not worried about that. We're worried about how did you get to that? Like what set did we run? And then what did you do in that set? Did you make a second cut? Did you get a paint catch? Did you make a paint pass? Were you finding your teammates? So like different little things like that on the defensive end. Who got a steal? Who got a dive? Who took a charge? So all of those things, they factor into how we play. And here at Villanova, we focus on our triangles. And the bottom of our triangles is defend and rebound and play hard and play together. So if those who are the bottom of our triangles, that's what we want to focus on the most. And that's what's in our attitude points, and that's how we calculate that. And then attitude itself is just like, yo, you might not be having the best game, or our team, we might not be hitting shots and the refs might be a ref from a different league, or you're playing against the top team in the country, and the refs, it's a nationally televised game, and the refs know that they want this team to win. So you got to focus on what you can control, and what you can control is your attitude and your effort. So your attitude is, if things aren't going your way, you can't sulk and you can't be upset that it's not going your way. You got to find a way to make it work. You got to find a way to make it happen and do it for your teammates and your coaches. And if something's not going your way, attitude next play. Like, it's a mindset that you just got to have. And then we take that into life, we take that into school. When we get out of college and we're not playing for Villanova, we still keep that same mindset.
Now, you're a guy that is, I think, you know, at least from the outside looking in, man, seems to definitely pride himself, you know, on the defensive end of the floor. You're a guy that, you know, from watching you guys play, man, you oftentimes, you know, guard another team's best perimeter player. You and Jermaine Sammons are two of arguably the two best wing defenders in the country. Talk about that aspect of your game and kind of where that came from and kind of how you use that to kind of affect winning for your team.
Yeah, I mean, just wanting to do something for my teammates and my coaches, I think that we have, like, very special guys who want to do that. Like, we might not always be good at it, but we always want to do that. And then having a guy like Jermaine who taught me how to play as soon as I got here. All right, listen, because he's seen it from Mikael. He's seen it from Josh. He's seen it from Eric Paschal. He done seen it from Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo. Like, he played with, like, six pros. So he understands the game, and he's a great leader. And we have Colin Gillespie, great leader, one of the best players in the country, one of the best players I've ever seen. So we have guys like that who told us, listen, like, if you make your mark on the defensive end, offense will come. And then once I understood that in a practice where I had to guard Eric Paschal, then I had to guard Phil Booth, then I had to guard Sadiq Bey, all in like four different minutes. Like, if I had to chase all of them around and I had to guard them, chest them in the post, like, if I had to do all of that, then I think I'd be effective in the game. And then it started clicking. I'm like, oh, I got to play defense on this guy who might be a potential lottery pick or something like that, or this guy who's a first rounder, or this guy who they're saying they're going to be a player of the year. So stopping those guys and changing what the other team's offense is or making it harder for them, they're like, we want to take pride in that.
Now, I have to ask you this, because I'm glad you mentioned Colin Gillespie, man. I want to ask you about Colin, because I feel like, obviously, you know, last year was Cole Biggie's Player of the Year, so I don't want to sit up and say he's underrated, but I feel like he doesn't get the respect that he deserves at times. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People talk about, oh, like, he's playing at Villanova, he's just a little, you know, a point guard running the system. But for those that don't know, like, Colin, first of all, he can hoop. Like, he can hoop.
He got some boogie with him.
And, man, like, this dude is just, like, when it's time to play in big games, like, he shows up. You know what I'm saying? So talk to people a little bit about Colin Gillespie, man, and, you know, why you think he kind of doesn't get the credit that he deserves, man, but, you know, how important he is for you guys' team.
He really is, like, a coach on the floor. Like, literally tells us everything that we need to do. Like, without Colin, our engine isn't running. He's getting us in the position. He's telling us what plays we got to run. He's telling us what defense we're going to do the next possession. Not the possession right now, the one after that. He's telling us what play we want to run two possessions from now. Like, he's literally thinking the game 24/7. We got home from the game last night, probably around like 11-ish. Like, he's in my room watching film on his phone. Like the film wasn't even up on our huddle yet. He found a website that he can watch the film of the game, and he's watching the film. I'm like, yo, we literally just got home. His mind is always ticking. So, like, having a guy like that, he knows the game so well that when he plays, it's just like second nature to him. And people might not understand because they see, like, they don't see a dunk from him, or they don't see, like, a crazy crossover. But, like he can actually do everything on the floor. Like, anything that we ask of him to do, he does that. And he does it the best on the floor every single time. It's an amazing guy to have. It's just, he helps us, like, in every aspect of the game, seriously. Yeah.
Now, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about, you know, you guys as a team, man. Obviously, you guys entered the year, you know, as a top five team in the country. A lot of people say that you guys are one of, you know, main teams this year who could win it all. You had two big time games this year against UCLA and Purdue that you guys weren't able to pull out victories. You guys have another big time opportunity to play. You know, got Baylor coming up to kind of get another signature win. Talk me through kind of these early season games. You know, what it felt like. You know, to play in these big time games early on, and kind of what you think you guys need to do to kind of get that signature win early in the non conference schedule against a team. You know, that could potentially is going to mean a lot. You know, when it comes to March time, when it comes to seeding and things like that.
Yeah, it's all of these games, man. They mean a lot. So all these games that we play, from any tournament or any non-conference game, like they're very important to us. And then we try to approach every game with the same mindset as every game is our biggest game. And it just so happens that we have a crazy non-conference schedule. We're playing top teams in and out, and we're playing really tough teams, Big Five teams. So playing those two games, UCLA with a great, an amazing team. There's runner-ups. They were almost with the runner-ups. They lost at the buzzer. Everybody knows that they lost at the buzzer. But, I mean, they played amazing when we were out there. Every time we made a run, they made a run. Every time we answered when they made a run, they made another run. Every time we made a great play, they made an amazing play. So that's a great veteran group of team. And Purdue is just – They're off the chain right now. Like, Purdue is an amazing team. And we gotta give both of them credit. We had both of those games, and we understood when we came back to film and we watched film what we messed up at, and we understand we gotta execute certain plays and certain times down the stretch, and we're gonna get better at that, and hopefully we get to see them again. But we have other opportunities to like you said, show how we've gotten better and show what we can do now. So we're going to try to take full advantage of the opportunities that we have playing against these bigger teams.
Now, you mentioned, you know, obviously the game at UCLA, man. I mean, that was one of the most exciting games that I, you know, have seen watching college basketball, because obviously, you know, they were up in the beginning and y'all went up and then they went back up and went into overtime. And that game was just crazy. Obviously, it was a true road game. Like, you guys went to UCLA and played them on the road, man. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, that game, what you remember from playing in that game, man, being out there in LA, man. Just what was that like for you guys, man?
Yeah, man. First of all, being from the East Coast, going to the West Coast, none of that's easy, man. Like, you're not used to that atmosphere at all. So most of our guys, we're probably from, like, the same Northeast area or Mid-Atlantic area. So, like, when we go over there to the West Coast, we're not used to the time change. And that was probably, like, one of the things we didn't even think about, like, while we was playing. But, like, as soon as the game was over, we were like, yo, we flying back home. It's like 3 hours difference. Like, people texting us, it's like 3 a.m. for them. We like, oh, we didn't even know that. Like, that probably was something that we probably should have thought about coming into the game. But they play extremely hard, and I got to give it to them, man. Like, they really have a great team. And although I think they just lost like one game or something like that, it doesn't matter. Like, they're a great team. They are a great team, and they have a strong coach. And he obviously he used to be in the Big East. So him and Coach Wright, they go way back. And then they had a great game plan for us. And anytime we change something up, he changed something up. So he knew what he was doing, and he has a great team, great players, and they're a special team.
Now, you mentioned the Big Five. You guys are going to see St. Joe's, you know, next time out. Then you're going to have a matchup against Syracuse and, you know, one of them old Big East games that everybody loves. You know, for you, man, that's going to be a game that's going to be in the Jimmy V Classic. But, you know, for you, what's that going to be like for you and playing in a game like that, you know, against Syracuse? You know, a lot of you know, us casual basketball fans, man, we love to kind of, you know, think about back on that old Big East. Obviously, you guys are going to be matched up against also one of your former teammates and Coach Swider. But, you know, what are you looking forward to about that game versus Syracuse?
Yeah, so like you said, the St. Joe's game, what people don't know is that it's kind of like a little rivalry out here in the Big Five. So probably it's not nationally known, but here in Philly it's big. So if people are watching our game and it's a close game, don't be surprised, because they are a really great team and they're going to do everything they can to beat us. And we're going to do everything we can to beat them. It's just going to be one of those games in the atmosphere of the Big Five. And that's just how it's going to be. And then Syracuse, I mean, that's another tough team. One of the old Big East powerhouses, and we get a chance to play against them and do it for a good cause, and we're doing it in the Garden. So that's a big venue, a very historic venue, and we get to play against one of our old players. So both games, they kind of have like their own little twist to it, and we're excited for both.
Now, we didn't mention all these non-conference games, man. I mean, you know, UCLA and Purdue, and you didn't talk about Tennessee and Syracuse and Baylor, man. And obviously, the league that you guys playing is the Big East. And the top eight teams in the Big East, not including Villanova. Villanova is currently ninth place with two losses. The first eight teams in the Big East right now are combined 51-7. DePaul is in first place, they say 6-0. I mean, the Big East this year is a lot stronger than it's been in past years. Just got done beating up on the Big Ten in the Gavitt game, and you guys and UConn didn't even play in that invitational, man. But talk to me a little bit about the strength of the Big East this year, man. What you kind of looking forward to going into that league, and also kind of what it means to see the league, you know, getting so many quality wins in the non-conference this year.
Yeah, man. We're blessed to even be in the Big East, man. We got to thank all the teams that are in the Big East and that showed how strong of a conference we are, man. Because when we play against each other night in, night out, honestly, it's a battle. And you never know what's going to happen. So we have great players. We have talented teams. We have talented coaches. We have historic coaches. We have historic venues. So when we might not be seen as like one of the bigger conferences because we don't have a football team or we don't have a strong presence, like a large enrollment that has long fans and all that. But like, it doesn't matter. Like we care a lot. Like, it might be a little bit too much about basketball in the Big East. So when we have players who are player of the year discussion, not just on our team. Like, we have other players who are player of the year discussion in the Big East. When we have people like that, it's amazing. And you get to play against great players. You get to play against potential pros. You get to have historic coaches that you get to go against every single night. So we're blessed to be in the Big East, and we take full advantage of that. And we appreciate everybody who notices that the Big East is a really tough conference.
I mean, I got to ask you, man. Obviously, you know, all three of us are DMV guys, man. And Villanova has become like the DMV, like our favorite school, apparently, man, with Josh and, you know, Josh Hart and Chris Jenkins and yourself and Justin Moore and Sadiq. The list goes on, man. Like, you guys talk about that in the locker room at all? Like, or, I mean, but just like, and what's that like for you, man? Obviously, you're there right now with Justin, man. Like, you know, what is it like for you being able to play with a guy, you know, from back home, a fellow team takeover guy? Like, just what is that whole dynamic like, you know, over there at Villanova?
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. We kind of give the Philly guys, the people from Philly on this team, we give them a little hard time about it because, like, seriously, we had like Scotty Reynolds, Dante Cunningham, Dwayne Anderson, Mo Sutton, Mutai Yaru. Like, we've had guys from like anywhere. We've had literally probably been like 20 guys in the last like 10 years or something like that. It's crazy. Like, we have a lot of guys from the area, and it just so happens that like our area is so talented and it's so filled with talent. Like, so, and it's so little. Like, we don't really notice until we get older and we leave the area and we play in college or we play professionally and we see somebody that we know or we're on the team with someone that we know. Like, me, Justin, and Sadiq, we've been playing with each other since we was like 5, 6 years old. And we never thought we'd all three of us be on the same team. So, like, as crazy as it sounds, like, you literally are playing against somebody who's a potential pro or playing somebody who you're going to be college teammates with. So, like, yeah, we give the Philly guys a hard time about it all the time. Man. We tell them it's the DMV, like the V in Villanova DMV. Like, we give them a hard time about it. Like we tell the Philly guys, like, man, like, y'all can't do anything, so y'all come down and get us. Like, we bust them up a little bit about that. But, I mean, we got great Philly guys, too. We got to give them credit. But we take a little bit more pride in that down there.
Nah, for sure, man. Listen, me and Drew used to do the same thing because our class at Quinnipiac was me, Drew, and Abdullah Bundu, who played take play at Largo. Uh-huh. Kid Matt Balak is there now. He's from Montgomery County kid, man. And we had a bunch of dudes come through there through the year, man. So DMV pride is all well and good, man. We always going to definitely carry that torch, man. Yeah. Even at DMV, now, I mean, you played at Paul Six, obviously. you know, in one of the best high school leagues in the country, man, WCAC Alpha. Two of those guys, Jeremy Roach and Trevor Kears, are playing at Duke right now, and, you know, are off the great start to the season, man. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, what it's been like kind of seeing those two guys do their thing on the biggest stage, man, and obviously, you know, just kind of being able to come from a program like Paul Six and being able to be on this stage now doing what you guys are doing for the area.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm so blessed that I got the opportunity to play with Paul Six. But when I got there, they had, I think, out of 15 guys, they had like 12 Division I players that year. What did they win? They won like the title. They won the WCAC title. They won the state. They won Humber. Like, they won like every single, they lost like 3 games a whole year. They won every single tournament that they were in. So when I got there, it was, you had amazing players. Just, you were lucky enough to even put the jersey on that year. So, and then I had VJ King, I had Frank Howard, I had Aaron Thompson, I had Corey Manigault. I had Division I players in class with me, and like, we're not getting in the game the next day. we're practicing with a JV just to practice with a JV because we're probably not gonna play in the game. But like, you got like 4 or 5 guys on the JV team who are gonna be Division I players. So just having that type of program, like, prepare you for something like this. Not a lot of people get that, and I'm so proud that I got that opportunity. Seeing guys like Jeremy Roach and Trevor Kills, man, it's great to see what they've become. Because when I was playing with them, they were a little bit different. Obviously, they were a little bit younger, but you could see it. You could see the potential. And I just so happened to have a backcourt with I had Aaron Thompson at Butler. I had Anthony Harris, UNC. I had Trevor Kills. I had Jeremy Roach. Duke. So, like, I had the best of the best. So, I got to say, man, I'm thankful for having them on my team and seeing them improve every year and seeing what they're doing now at Duke. Man, I'm so glad. I'm happy for them.
Now, man, obviously, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, when you committed to Villanova your senior year, that was the year that they ended up winning the national championship with Dante and Amari Spellman. And obviously now you're a senior. And, you know, you guys are kind of back, you know, like I said, like I mentioned before, man, top 5 team in the country. And a lot of people think that you guys have what it takes to win it all. You know, for you, man, what would it mean to you to be a part of a national championship winning team at Villanova this year?
That would mean the world to me, man. Obviously, everybody who plays college basketball, they want that goal. So the thing that we want to distinguish from any other team, we're trying to be the best team that we can be at the end of the year. So hopefully that takes us to whatever standard that has for us as a team and what we can do. But man, we're so excited to even have the opportunity to play this year. So we have great guys, great coaches. We have guys who believe in each other, who believe in the coaches, who believe everything that the team is talking about, what we want to do, what we want to get done. So I feel like we have a great opportunity with this group of guys, and I'm so excited to even get out here, play our next game. Like further down the line, of course, everybody wants to play in that last game, but this game that we played against St. Joe's, just as much right now.
Now, Brent, I can't let you get off the hook without asking you a question, man. Obviously, everybody knows Jay Wright for his style, man. The guy has put on some great suits over the years, man. I think our coach, Baby Dunleavy, might have got it from him, but Dunleavy got some nice suit swag. I don't know if you ever seen any of his suits, man.
I've seen a few of his suits.
He definitely put that thing on, you know what I'm saying? I have to ask you, man, who is the best dress on your team, man? Who has the best swag? And matter of fact, if you can't say yourself, you know what I'm saying, who you putting in your top 3 on your roster, man?
Okay. So, you know what? I gotta put Colin in. He has some calm fits, but it's like he has like a different aura when he wears his stuff. So it's like he might wear some sweats, but it's like some cool sweats and some Jordans, like some nice Jordans that we probably can't get. So you like, all right, I see what you're doing. He just wanna slightly flex on us a little bit. And then you got Jermaine Samuels. He has great fits all the time. And then Caleb Daniels, he comes in every day. He tries to prove to us that he can dress. So those three definitely.
All right. So where do you rank in this tier, man? Are you a chill guy? Are you? I'm really about to put that thing on. Like, where do you rank on the team hierarchy?
Yeah, I gotta say I'm like in the middle. I'm in the middle because like like when I decide I want to do it, like I can put a fit on, but like I think sometimes I just wanna relax. I probably don't want to show them up too much, you know.
Man, I bet Coach Wright gonna feel a way that you don't got him in the top three. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, the coaches was allowed to count?
Yeah.
Oh, let me take that back. Let me take that back. All right, man. We got Coach Wright at number one.
hey, he said, yo, I need my minutes next game. Hold up.
Facts. We got Coach Wright at number one, definitely. Then I got to put Colin number two, Coach Nardi number three. So Coach Mike Nardi, he's like our gear guy, and he like tells us what to wear, what to do. Like he has some nice fits with him. And then we get to the players after that. But them two for sure.
I respect it. I respect it, man.
Solid list.
You said what?
It's a solid list.
Very solid list, man. Well, we won't hold you too long, man. Definitely want to thank you for coming on today, man. It's definitely been a lot of fun, man. And definitely, like Drew said in the beginning, man, super proud of you, man, to be able to see, you know, your development over the last couple of years, man. And definitely looking forward to seeing what you guys do the rest of the season, man, and definitely rooting for you guys, man.
Thank you so much, man.
No problem. Hey, and as always, man, hey, attitude on three, baby. Attitude on three.
All righty, guys. That was Brandon Slater, man. And sheesh, man. That was a pleasure, man. I think, you know, the one thing that I took away from that, man, obviously is, you know, I mean, that guy is definitely, you know, the prototypical story, man, of just sticking it out, man, and not giving up. And I think it's definitely a testament, man, because you don't see that a lot, man. And, you know, in today's day and age, man, where the transfer portal is, you know, 1,000 names plus, you know, I mean, it's guys that average 19, 20 points a game, you know, the Marcus Carlos of the world that's hitting the portal, man. And, you know, for a guy like Brandon Slater, man, who really didn't play much of, you know, at all his first 2 years, started playing more last year, but didn't really have much of an offensive impact or anything like that, man. For him to stick it out all 3 years, man, and now to be having the success he's having now, man, I mean, I think it's just a story that a lot of people could learn from, a lot of people could, you know, draw inspiration from, man. And, you know, I think the greatest reward, man, is, I mean, this is a guy that's put himself in a position to make some money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a guy like him who's, you know, 6'7", long, a defender first, you know, but also a guy that can knock down shots from the perimeter, he's going to give himself opportunity to get drafted next year. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, a first-round pick, you know, but he's a guy that could definitely maybe, you know, be a sleeper somewhere in the second round, or even if he does go undrafted, is a guy that can make a roster, you know, because of what he brings to the floor, you know, defensively. And obviously, we know what, you know, Villanova's history is as far as developing wings and guys like Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart, you know, and the list goes on and on, man. So, incredibly proud to be able to have him on the podcast this week and to allow you guys to be able to hear his story, man, because I think he's definitely one of the most unique stories in all college basketball.
Not for sure, man. I mean, you mentioned the NBA, man. This dude is a prototypical 3-and-D wing right now, man. If he continues to shoot the ball the way that he's doing it right now, he's not going to finish the season at 50% from threes. He's shooting 48% from three-point line right now. I don't think that'll continue. But, you know, if he's hovering anywhere near 40, with his measurables, man, at 6'7", 220, long, athletic, he's going to have an opportunity to get drafted, man. I mean, we've seen it happen, you know. Obviously, Sadiq Bey wasn't on the NBA radar when he first got to Villanova, man. And Mikal Bridges wasn't on the NBA radar when he got to Villanova, man. This dude is, you know, damn near the favorite for Defensive Player of the Year right now in Phoenix, man. We mentioned, obviously, Josh Hart also wasn't on draft board when he got to Villanova, man. And, you know, was able to stay 4 years and turn himself into a pro, man. And, you know, Slater's, you know, followed that same path, man. I got to give him a lot of credit, man, for coming in there and sticking it out, man. This dude, you know, averaged basically zero his freshman year, one his sophomore year, and 3 points a game last year, man. And for him to be now averaging 15, 4-2 on 63% shooting from the floor and almost 50% from three is just a testament to, you know, the person that he is, man, and the player that he is. Also the culture at Villanova, man, that they have just developing players, man. And, you know, how many guys have already left Villanova, man? We obviously remember Javon Quinlan left a couple years back and Coach Brown left last year, man. But guys don't leave that program, man. And you know, for a reason just like this, man, for, you know, a guy like Slater, who, you know, is reaping the benefits, you know, of sticking it out, man, and staying there. And now I have an opportunity to be a key contributor for a top 10 team, man. If those guys mess around and go on a run in March. We've seen DiVincenzo go from undrafted to an NBA player in about 2 weeks in March Madness a few years ago, man. And anything can happen, man. But this dude is definitely an NBA level prospect, man, with his athleticism, the way he shoots the ball, and the way that he defends, man. So he'll have the opportunity next year to make some money for sure.
Now, yeah, man. I mean, obviously, we talked about it on the podcast, and Villanova was able to Villanova dropped those first two games against UCLA and Purdue, but they're going to have opportunity to kind of get back on the board. Obviously, they're going to have opportunity to play Syracuse, but you know, the biggest matchup that they have left, you know, arguably on their non-conference schedule, is against Baylor, man. And it's going to be a pleasure, man. Obviously, you know, like I mentioned, playing in the Kennel League with Brandon Slater, and also playing alongside James Akinjo in the Kennel League a couple years ago, man. They're going to be able to match up again in that game, man. So for you guys, you know, I hope you guys definitely get a chance to tune in and watch if you haven't seen him play, man, because, I mean, this is a guy that is going to be on a lot of people's radar, you know, come March and come NCAA tournament time, man, when Villanova's making their run, as they always do in March, man. So make sure you guys, you know, have your eyes, you know, on the lookout for Brandon Slater and the Villanova Wildcats.
Sure, man. And I think now it's time for our favorite segment of the week. The craziest thing we saw, man, and I must say, last night was a crazy day in college basketball, man. Wednesday night was a wild day in college basketball, man. We've seen some four overtime games, man, and namely NC State and Nebraska. I mean, this was a four overtime game last night, or Wednesday night, excuse me, in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, man. You know, obviously NC State was able to sneak out of there with a 104-100 win. In a thriller. I mean, I saw a video. It was some scuffles after the game, man, and dudes running up on scooters, you know, trying to get a piece of the smoke, man. But obviously, you know, they were able to get to earn a 104-100 win, man. And, you know, NC State big man, Darion Sebron, scored 39 points and grabbed 18 rebounds in 57 minutes of that game last night, man, which is definitely which is ridiculous, you know what I'm saying, for a college basketball game, man. So that had to get my vote for crazy thing we saw, man. That was an absolute barn burner last night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Yeah, I mean, sticking with the ACC Big Ten Challenge, man, first of all, well, before I switch gears a little bit, man, I mean, that NC State and Nebraska game, shout out to Trey McGowan. I mean, hopping out there when your team needs you most, you know, on the scooter, one-legged, you know, having your team back, you know what I'm saying? I mean, respect. You know, a lot of guys have just been on the sideline, you know, but, hey, I mean, hey, he put himself out there, man. Somebody could knock him off with a scooter, you know, but, I mean, I think that's the very testament of loyalty, man, and brotherhood, man. You know, you got your brother's back, even when you're handicapped. Quite literally, his brother is on the team at Nebraska, you know what I'm saying? So he has his brother's back, man. Shout out to him, man. But I'm going to keep it in the 8-10. Excuse me, ACC Big Ten Challenge, man. Syracuse was able to get a 112-110 victory over Indiana in double overtime in a game where, you know, Buddy Boeheim goes for 27, his brother Jimmy Boeheim goes for 26, and coached by their dad, Jim Boeheim, man. You know, so we got a Boeheim victory, man, for Syracuse. Obviously, scores 112 points, man. Not a lot of defense when it was played in this game. You know, Trace Jackson Davis goes for 31-16 in that game, man. But, you know, for me, man, you know, you got the family affair, man. You know, Jimmy, Buddy, and Jim, you know, they would lead the Orange, you know, over Indiana there, man. But, you know, you always like to see, you know, brothers doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? I think me and you know a little bit about that, man. But, I mean, sheesh, man, 112-110. I mean, it wasn't much defense played in that game, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, Trey Jackson Davis is an absolute problem. He had 31-16 on 11-16 shooting from the floor. And didn't take a three the whole game. And dude was out there, you know what I'm saying, doing whatever he wanted, you know, with Syracuse, man. This is what we're talking about earlier in the podcast, Drew. These dudes ain't gonna guard a soul, man. Like,
they won the game. Listen, man. Boeheim 26, Joe Girard 22, Buddy Boeheim 27, Jesse Edwards 17, Villanova's finest, Cole Swider 14. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they get buckets, baby. Get buckets. Amen. I mean, how about this? Look. If we look at the three-point field goal, I mean, they made 13 threes. You know what I'm saying? You make 13 threes, you don't give yourself a chance to win the game. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, look. I hope they find a way to guard somebody. I mean, honestly, the ACC is looking garbage anyway, so, you know what I'm saying, they might not have too much trouble in that league unless they're playing, you know what I'm saying, Duke or North Carolina or Virginia Tech, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know, man. You're giving up 110 to Indiana. I mean, we Trace 31, Miller Kopp 28. I mean, these dudes was out here. Parker Stewart 20. You know what I'm saying, man? Race Thompson, 17 and 12, bro. I mean, the dudes are out there getting right with them. Like, when have we ever seen that on a – when have we ever seen somebody score 110 on Syracuse? Never. Never. You have never seen it. I don't think you could think about a team scoring 110 on Syracuse, man. Like, this don't look like the Syracuse that we've known of late, man. And I don't like it, man. I really don't like it, man. But I do respect the bucket getters, man. I respect, you know what I'm saying, 27, 26 from Buddy and Jimmy, man. Hey, listen, you know what I'm saying? I ain't mad at them, man. 22, Joe Girard, man. I pray they do that every night, you know what I'm saying? But we know they ain't. That's the problem. They ain't going to score 112 every night, you know what I'm saying? These dudes ain't going to make 13 threes every night, you know what I'm saying? When that happens and it's current, then that's how you lose at home to Colgate, you know what I'm saying, and BCU when you score 55 points because of that.
You're right, man. You're right. You know, hopefully they'll be able to, you know, get that zone together.
I mean, Colgate scored 100 on these dudes. Colgate hung 100 on Syracuse.
Hold on.
Like, can we talk about that?
Colgate is an offensive juggernaut.
100?
In the NCAA tournament. They're a great offensive team. Nah. High octane offense.
100 is
crazy. They've been a high-scoring team for a long time now. NCAA tournament pedigree, they're a good team.
100 is crazy. Colgate, 100 on the road is crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, they got hot. You know, they got hot, man. Sorry, man. The ones are going to find their way into the tournament one way or another, man. You and I both know this, man. They're going to find their way in. They're going to make enough threes. The zone's going to get better by March. You know, don't worry about it, man. But, you know, speaking of which, man, you know, I know we have a lot of games coming up this week, man. So, Ace, I mean, what are some games that our viewers should be looking forward to this upcoming week?
Yeah, man, Friday night, man, 7 o'clock. We mentioned SoCon. College of Charleston already caught one SoCon team in traffic in Chattanooga. And going to try to catch another one in traffic. And that's Furman, Friday, 7 p.m. They're going to travel to Furman, man, and play the Paladins. Man, it's going to be a great game. Obviously, two of the best mid-major teams in the country, man. Furman, who's not in our top 25 right now, but I do think that they are, you know, going to be there by the end of the year, man. And College of Charleston, we said, is a great basketball team, coach by former Wofford coach Pat Kelsey. Also, shout out to my guy Jermaine Ucable, who's probably the youngest assistant coach in the country. You know what I'm saying right now with College of Charleston. Man, so definitely want to shout out to those guys, and they're going to score out, like I said, Friday night at Furman.
Yep. Now, yeah, definitely going to be a big-time game, man. I know, you know, Pat Kelsey obviously did a great job at Winthrop, you know, over the past couple of years, and now is transitioning to College of Charleston. So make sure you guys are tuned in, man. Definitely going to be a big-time game for sure.
Yes, sir, man. Let me go to Saturday. Saturday at 4 p.m., I honestly feel bad for college basketball viewers because there's going to be so many great basketball games, man. But there's three going on at the same time. Saturday at 4 p.m., we're going to get St. Mary's at Colorado State, BYU at Missouri State, and Buffalo at St. Bonaventure, all happening Saturday at 4 p.m., man. So, obviously, you know, Buffalo and St. Bonaventure are both top 20 teams. Buffalo, obviously, coming in at 17. St. Bonaventure's at 3 in our top 25 rankings. And then, obviously, Colorado State is at 2, and St. Mary's is at 4 right now in our ranking. So we got a top 5 matchup and a top 20 matchup, both taking place Saturday at 4 p.m. And then obviously BYU is the current number one team in our poll. They're going to go to Missouri State. Obviously Missouri State is a team that, you know, has spent time on our poll throughout the first 3 weeks of season, man. They're a good basketball team out of the Missouri Valley, man. So Saturday, 4 p.m., man, I hope you got, you know, a laptop, a TV, and a tablet or something, you know, to kind of watch all three of those games, man, because they're all going to be great basketball games, man. And then I'm embarrassed when telling you guys about this game, man, but Northern Iowa is going to play Sunday at 2 o'clock versus Richmond. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is more of an important game for Richmond than it is for Northern Iowa, because Northern Iowa played themselves completely off of the at-large, you know, conversation, man. So, you know, for Richmond, they're obviously probably off of the at-large bubble too, man. They've already got 4 losses, man. So, you know, honestly, I think it's going to be a confidence booster for either one of those teams. They can kind of, you know, earn a a quality win, obviously, before you get into the conference play. You know what I'm saying? That'll be big for both of those teams, man. It's going to be in Iowa. You know what I'm saying? So for Richmond, man, you can go on the road and get a good – and get a, you know, we think would be a quality road win, man. That'll be good for them. But at this point, I don't know, because doing Iowa is you know, like I said earlier, I'm off that bandwagon, man. And then Belmont is going to go to St. Louis Tuesday at 8 p.m. Obviously, Belmont right now is currently ranked 10th in our mid-major poll. And St. Louis, out of the A-10, is currently 7-1, man. They only lost to Memphis right now on the season, man. So, obviously, they're going to have opportunity to go in there. And get a win on Tuesday against Belmont. Obviously, they're going to have an opportunity to go in there, kind of earn themselves a quality win for the A-10, man, who was also, you know, struggled this season thus far, man. And then on Wednesday, man, we're going to get Utah State at BYU. Another one of our top 10 matchups, man. BYU is number one in our poll. Utah State is currently at 8 in our poll, man. They're going to play Wednesday at 9 p.m., man. That's definitely one you want to circle on your calendar, man, because those are two teams that, you know, 2 1-loss teams, two teams who have been playing some great basketball as of late. Obviously, BYU coming off that loss. They're going to have a big week with Missouri State and then with Utah State, man. So, kind of learn a lot about, you know, a lot of these teams over the next, you know, 7 days or so, man. So, definitely looking forward to watching some good basketball over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, as far as mid-majors, I mean, that Utah State and BYU is definitely a prime-time matchup. Colorado State is definitely a prime-time matchup. But the one matchup that I think I'm most intrigued about out of all the games you said is Buffalo and St. Bonaventure. You know, we all know about, you know, how good St. Bonaventure has been, but for those who don't know, man, I mean, those Buffalo rivalries are sharp. You know what I'm saying? The Canisius-Buffalo game is a big-time rivalry. You know, St. Bonnie's-Niagara, St. Bonnie's-Canisius, all the Buffalo games are rivalries. So don't expect St. Bonnie's to go in there and blow out Buffalo or anything like that, man. I mean, I think that's actually a sneaky upset pick. You know, Buffalo, I would not be surprised if Buffalo won that game versus St. Bonnie's, because, you know, As Brandon Slater was mentioning, you know, in the interview, you know, when you have these local rivalries, you know, Villanova and St. Joe's, you know, that he said to himself, don't be surprised if that game is closer than you think. I think that this Buffalo and St. Bonnie's game is no different. You know, don't be surprised if this game is a very closely contested game, man, or even if Buffalo was able to upset, you know, St. Bonnie's in this game, man, because, you know, when you have these local, you know, inner city rivalries between college teams, man, it doesn't really matter, you know, who's you know, better, quote unquote. You know, those games can go either way, man. So I'm definitely going to be intrigued to see, you know, the outcome of that one for sure.
I mean, you mentioned it, man. It's definitely going to be a good ball game. And obviously, St. Bonaventure coming off of that loss. They got a few wins, obviously, off our alma mater, Coppin State, actually, on Wednesday, man. Coppin battled in that game, man. And you mentioned, you know, that Canisius battled against them earlier, obviously, in the year, you know, the other 69-60 win for St. Bonaventure, man. By far, you know, was not a cakewalk, man. So Buffalo is surely, you know, going to give them a run for their money, man. And I think I expect St. Bonaventure to win that game, but I definitely think it's going to be, you know, a lot closer than some people might expect. It's going to be at St. Bonaventure, so they're going to have that home court advantage, man. But, you know, Buffalo is I'm sure, going to travel well, and they're going to, you know, bring some fans in on the buses over there from UB. So definitely going to be a good game for them. And then, obviously, you mentioned St. Mary's and Colorado State is going to be a huge game. And, obviously, Utah State and BYU as well, man. So, a bunch of good games this weekend, man. So, get your popcorn, man. Get ready to kick your feet up on the couch, man, and watch some good basketball, man.
Definitely, man. I think it's, but before we go, man, I definitely do have to give a shout-out, man. You know, you mentioned Coppin State, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know – always going to show the love to the Coppin State, man. But if we're going to talk about, you know, the MEAC, man, I have to give a shout-out to Norfolk State right now, man, because Norfolk State has, as far as non-conference, I mean, they separated themselves from the rest of the teams in the MEAC, man. I mean, they're 9-1 this year, and their only loss this entire season has come to Xavier. You know, they have a win over William & Mary, who's a legitimate, you know, CAA program, a win over Bowling Green, who's never legit mid-major, you know, a win over Hampton out of the Big South, a win over UNC Wilmington, who's another CAA team, a win over Tennessee State out of the OVC, you know, so they're not beating, you know, slouches. I mean, they're beating, you know, legit, you know, mid-major Division I basketball teams. And obviously, they were in the NCAA tournament last year. And they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, man. I think that obviously we haven't talked a lot about the MEAC, you know, outside of, you know, Coppin State here and there, of course. Deservingly so, man. But definitely got to give a shout out to Norfolk, man, because anytime you're, you know, a MEAC team and an HBCU at that, when you're playing a lot of bye games, and I know a lot of people don't understand that, kind of that dynamic. You know, when you're an HBCU, you kind of have to go out on the road a lot of times and play a lot of these teams, you know, for money to sustain your athletic department. You know, so when you have opportunity to go out and you're 9-1 through your first 10 games, definitely got to tip my hat to those guys, man. As much as it pains me, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, obviously us at Coppin, you know, we don't like them dudes over at Norfolk. Had some couple, you know, skirmishes with those guys, man, back in our playing days, man. But, you know what I'm saying, I definitely got to give a shout-out, you know, give credit where credit is due. Nonetheless, man, they're putting on for the MEAC right now, man. So definitely got to show them some love.
Nah, man, I mean, I want to definitely piggyback on that, man. Robert Jones is doing an amazing job over there at Norfolk, man. This dude, I mean, this is a guy who's won 75% of his conference games, you know, in the MEAC in his time at Norfolk State, man. I think he just won his 150th game over the weekend, I believe. And like I said, man, they're 9-1. They're returning a lot, obviously, from last year's team and Joe Bryan and Jalen Hawkins, man, and Tyrese Jenkins as well, man. Guys that have played a lot of games for them and was on that MEAC team last year. Then they also bring in a guy like Christian Ings, who played in the MAC last year at Ryder. He's been great for them this year, obviously averaging 11, almost 3 assists and 3 rebounds a game for them, man. And, you know, their team has definitely separated themselves, man. But I had a conversation the other day about the MEAC, man. The MEAC is not going to be, you know, any slouch, man. I mean, even a team like Howard, who right now is 4-4, I had an opportunity to see them the other day versus Austin Peay, man, who you know, they lost that game 69-62. Then they lost on Tuesday to Mount St. Mary's 72-70, man. But both of those games were very winnable games for Howard, who's already beating William and Mary, already beating Bradley. I mean, they battled versus Villanova, man. I mean, they lost by 19, but, you know, for an HBCU team like Howard to battle against Villanova, at the time the top 5 team and now, you know, 6 in the country, is huge, man. They have a freshman that is a star, man. I mean, I'm going to say this name right now, Elijah Hawkins. That dude is going to be a real issue, man. This dude is a freshman at DeMatha High School. He's averaging basically just under 15 points a game with 7 assists and 5 rebounds a game for Howard, man. He's an ultimate floor general. Still a freshman, man, so he's taking his lumps at times, man. You know, kind of been balancing some turnover issues at times. But, you know, I think once we get in the MEAC play, man, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, man. Also, Kyle Foster, one of the best three-point shooters in the MEAC, man. He's shooting right now 53% from the three-point line, averaging about 14 points a game for them. And then Steve Settle, man, this guy is a 6'10", you know, forward, sophomore, averaging about 13 a game. Super talented kid, man. Howard is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the MEAC. And then, obviously, if you know about Morgan State and Kevin Brodus, you know, they were in the MEAC championship game last year. Obviously, they added Seventh Woods to the equation, who has, you know, battled some injuries this year. You know, he's been hurt. But he was back, you know, for that HBCU challenge. Obviously, only played a few minutes, but he scored 12 points in 11 minutes in a win versus Hampton. So obviously, man, I think once they get him back into the fold, man, he's going to be a guy that can help them a lot, man. They're extremely deep, and they return a lot, you know, from last year's team as well, man. So the MEAC is going to be a lot of fun. Man, we haven't even mentioned our Coppin State Eagles, who've been battling all year. Obviously, you know, they played St. Bonaventure extremely tough on the road last night. Jesse Zarzuela, you know, put up 27 on St. Bonaventure, man. And, you know, those guys have also lost a few close games, you know, lost to Canisius by 1, lost to ECU by 2, lost to Cleveland State by 3, man. So they've been battling, man. Obviously, they beat Loyola at home, you know, by 22, man. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. The MEAC is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have an opportunity to see Coppin when they play Towson at home next Wednesday, or I think it's 2 Wednesdays from now. They're playing on December 11th. I'll be able to be in the building for that game, man. Good game for you know, the area and for Baltimore. But looking forward to the MEAC, man. It's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I mean, even a team like UMS, who's historically been the bottom of the MEAC for I don't even know how long, I mean, they got a win over Fordham out of the A-10, and they only lost to UConn, who's the number 17 ranked team in the country, by 9 points on the road. You know, so, I mean, I think that one of the things that has been very refreshing to see this year, man, is a lot of those MEAC teams, man, are vastly improved, you know, from a year ago. They're competing at a much higher level all across the board, you know what I'm saying? And from top to bottom, I think that despite a lot of the teams, you know, leaving, you've seen Hampton has left to the Big South, A&T has left to go to the Big South, you know, FAM and Bethune have left. But the teams that still remain in the MEAC are competing, you know, and I think that's very good for the league, man. I think it's very refreshing to see. And just for HBCUs in general, man, I mean, even the SWAC, a lot of those teams have been battling early on in the season, man. So definitely, man, a positive thing, you know, to note for sure, man. So, you know, all my HBCUs out there, man, shout out to you guys, man. I mean, as a former HBCU athlete, man, I know the grind. I know the struggle that it is, man, to, you know, play these non-conference games. I mean, Cowboys State, for example, I think they literally had 10 games in 18 days. You know, literally, like, think about that. Like, played 10 Division I basketball games in 18 days and traveling all across the country. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out to the MEAC, man. Shout out to the SWAC. Shout out to all the HBCUs out there that have been grinding out in the non-conference schedule, man, because, you know, I know it's not easy. You know what I'm saying? And for all you guys who didn't, you know, have the privilege to play the HBCU, man, and go through that non-conference grind, man, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. You know what I'm saying? So definitely hats off to all the teams, man, that are getting it done, man, throughout the wins and losses, you know, in the non-conference.
And shout out to Chris Paul, too, for putting on that event out there in Phoenix, man, to kind of put a spotlight on HBCU basketball. And we had 4 games airing on ESPNU, man, on national television, man, which was huge to see in that Boost Mobile Chris Paul HBCU challenge over the weekend, man. And that was definitely super cool to see, man. HBCU is kind of, you know, on TV, playing in the big arena, man, and being highlighted, you know, on the biggest stage, man. So and definitely super, you know, super excited for that, you know, and you know, props to Chris Paul for making that happen, man. And hopefully we get to see more of that, you know, in the future, man, coming down the line here. I know they're going to be doing some stuff at All-Star Weekend as well. I'm pretty sure, I think Norfolk might be playing in Cleveland, I think, down the line.
Morgan State, man. I think it's Morgan State and Howard.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to definitely be awesome to see, you know, down there as well at the All-Star Weekend, man. So it's going to do it, man. It's going to do it for another episode of the Auto Bid, man. It's been a super fun episode, man. Shout out again to Brandon Slater for coming on, man. And shout out to you guys for tuning into our content. As always, man, want to thank you guys. And want to remind you guys again, make sure you guys are, you know, engaging with our content, man. Give us a like on social media, a retweet, repost to your story, man. It all does go a long way, man. Tell a friend about the Auto Bid, man. When you see us on Spotify or Apple Music, give us a rating, leave a comment, man. We definitely do appreciate all the engagements, man, as far as, you know, helping us to get this podcast out to a larger audience, man. And as always, make sure you listen to my guy, Pull Up Tay's new project, Why Stop Now. His music is everywhere, man. YouTube, SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, man. Make sure you guys are tapping in. It's going to be him on the outro. And as always, man, enjoy your guys' week. Enjoy the hoops. And until next time, folks. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm going in the clutch, boy. You beating on me. I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'ma take your last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.